just seeking the Lord this week, I knew that we were going to spend a few minutes talking about the election and the voting opportunity that we had coming up tomorrow. But it's just been in our heart as a church family just to share the Lord's Supper together again for some time. And this is the week it worked out. I'm thinking, well, we have these two things, the Lord's Supper, and what's the connection there? How are we gonna do this? How can we work together? And the Lord was speaking to me this week about stewardship. And we just spoke about stewarding our opportunity to vote, right? And how we are stewards of this earth together with the Lord, that He's called us to partner with Him. And I just want to speak to you for a few minutes on how to steward the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's been showing me some things about this opportunity to take communion together. And we call it communion or the Lord's Supper. And I believe that there's an opportunity here for us to steward this with honor and with reverence. And when we steward it properly, I believe it has great and increasing significance in our lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, just before we take communion together. The Bible tells us the night that Jesus was betrayed, that He and His disciples shared the Last Supper. When I hear the Last Supper, I see that famous painting, the Last Supper. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Everyone's kind of spread out, and there's like kind of lots. You can tell there's lots of conversation. It's kind of looks like a raucous event actually, but it's the Last Supper, and Jesus is there with all His disciples. They were gathering together to celebrate the Passover. That was an event, a Jewish holiday that was actually prescribed by Moses. Many years before. Well, what was Passover? We're not going to read the scriptures, but in Exodus 12, we read about the very first Passover. And what was happening then is the Israelites were living in slavery in Egypt, and God wanted them to go free. And so He sent Moses as His messenger, and of course, Aaron went with Moses as well. And their job was to really tell the Egyptian Pharaoh, "Let my people go." We know that God sent 9 plagues, and when we read, you know, we had a mini plague in our house this last year of spiders. And part of the reason was we were doing some renovations, and we just had part of our house that was kind of open to the outside. There was a lot of spiders, wasn't there, Kylie? Kylie's not a huge fan of spiders. I bet you we caught, I don't even tell you, it's in the hundreds for sure, of Daddy Long Legs. We got these awesome spider traps from Amazon, though. They're like super sticky paper, and you just kind of put that down, and the spider just go doot, 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 doot. And then they ain't moving any further. And so we kind of had a plague of spiders. But, I mean, if you read about these plagues, you know, they are way worse than a few hundred spiders over the course of a summer, right? But the Egyptian people and the Pharaoh would not listen to all these plagues. The very last plague was the gods that he would kill and destroy, the firstborn male of every household. And that was the plague that got Pharaoh's attention. But how would the Israelites' people not be affected? How would they not come under the result of this plague? The only way to escape the plague was to put the blood from a male lamb on the sides of the doorpost of your house. And when the death angel saw that blood, he would pass over that house, and he would not execute a death on that house. Pharaoh didn't pay attention to that warning, and so he lost his firstborn son. And we know that was the catalyst that started the Exodus, right? Started the deliverance of God's people from the land of Egypt. And so God commanded that every year the Jewish nation would celebrate that event as Passover. And the Israelites remember God's faithfulness, where the death angel passed over because they were covered and protected by the blood of a lamb. And so that's what Jesus and His disciples were celebrating. They were celebrating the Passover feast. And during, in Luke's account of that event, in Luke 22:19, here's what we read. Jesus took some bread and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces, and He gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This was a first for a Passover celebration. We can go and you can go ahead and read in God's word what Passover was all about and how they celebrated that with unleavened bread. But Jesus was doing something different here. So He took this loaf, and He didn't just pass it around. He just didn't say, "Here, help yourself to a piece of this unleavened bread." But Jesus specifically broke that bread apart, and then He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And of course, Jesus was referring to the coming hours of His life, those moments that were just merely hours away, when His body would be broken, when He would die on the cross, He'd be buried, and then resurrected 3 days later. Jesus was saying that his body would be broken for us. And of course, this was actually a fulfillment of a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah made several hundred years before, in Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. I believe that this scripture is an emphatic declaration that healing is part of atonement. Healing is part of the new covenant. Mental healing, physical healing, emotional healing, sexual healing, relational healing, whatever healing you need in your life, it's part of the covenant. It was paid for by the broken body of Jesus before he hung on that cross. Jesus, I just want you to make sure you see this. Jesus broke the bread apart before he passed to the disciples. He wasn't saying, "This is my body." He was saying, "This is my broken body." And of course, Peter quotes that prophecy in 1 Peter 2:24, "By his wounds you are healed." That's every sickness. That's every disease. That's diabetes. That's elbow pain. That's back pain. That's insomnia. That's migraine headaches. That's accidental sports injuries. That's injuries from vehicle accidents. That's sprained ankles. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing in your body, it was covered at the cross. Jesus' body was broken so you could be whole, so you could live healed. And by his stripes, you were healed. You know, that whipping that took place, that wasn't just a random occurrence. It's not like the Romans arrested Jesus. You know, just a bunch of mean guys thought, well, what can we do to inflict the most pain and the most punishment? That whipping that took place was orchestrated by God, and those Roman soldiers were unwitting servants of God to execute the judgment on Jesus' body so you and I could live healed. They had no idea they were part of God's plan when they were doing that. But that was not a random occurrence. That was not just some malicious Roman commander that thought, well, I just woke up on the wrong side of bed today, so let's just beat the living daylights out of this guy. He was beaten at that whipping post. The word says so badly that his face was a tattered mess that you couldn't even recognize who. If you knew him, you would not recognize him. So you and I could be healed. So what do? We have a choice. Are we going to steward the broken body of Jesus? Are we going to believe that he did this for us? Are we going to choose to receive that healing? You know, I was thinking of the words, take it for granted. And sometimes when we're talking about the Lord's Supper and we're talking about the broken body of Jesus, we talk about taking it for granted. Taking it for granted, in this case, means much more than just not appreciating it. Because sometimes that's as far as we go. When we talk about taking something for granted, we talk about maybe not having enough appreciation or enough honor or enough thankfulness for something that's been done to us. In this case, taking it for granted means not pursuing the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. Not believing to put our faith out there to receive the fullness of everything that he was broken and beaten, and eventually killed for. Matthew 26:27-28, talking about the blood now. And he took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." So Jesus was using wine. We're not going to have wine here this morning. We use grape juice at our church. But this wine that was shared, again, this was a new thing. This was a new custom that he was introducing when he said, "My blood is being poured out for the sins of many." And this confirms a new agreement, a new covenant between God and man. This is a new thing that's happening. What was the new thing that was happening? It was a covenant where you and I are affirmed as children of God, and we had nothing to do with it. We didn't qualify for it. We couldn't have qualified. We didn't work for it. It was the blood of Jesus, the perfect blood of Jesus, that purchased our freedom and really bought us into God's family. Amen. Now we're sons and daughters of God. It was Jesus that did it. But it was the new agreement, it was the new covenant that was in no way based on our performance, right? Remember the previous covenant, the old covenant? It was definitely based on man's performance. And we couldn't live up to the law. And so God got together and said, we need a new covenant. We need a new agreement that is not based on man's performance. Let's send Jesus. Let's send the perfect Lamb. So Jesus' death and resurrection truly made a way for us to have a relationship with God. Because of sin, we were doomed, right? Because of sin, we were under a curse. We needed deliverance. And someone had to die. Jesus took our place on the cross. He paid for our death with his death so we could be forgiven and right with God. Jesus, see, we started off talking about the Passover lamb because Jesus is our Passover lamb, isn't he? He met all the requirements of the Passover lamb. If you go back and look in the book of Exodus, he was a male, he was unblemished, and he was willing to die for our sins. So Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's the perfect Lamb of God that has caused the death angel to pass over us. So we have eternal life. We have freedom in Christ. We're no longer under the curse of sin. Praise God. So we have an opportunity to steward the Lord's Supper. What does this mean, stewarding the Lord's Supper? How do we do that? Well, Apostle Paul, I believe, gave us some instructions. This is in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Let's really watch verse 26 here. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death. Now, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in a tough spot, when they were in a battle, when they were in a fight, what would they would have the priest come, and the priest would offer up usually a burnt offering, and they would ask for the Lord's blessing. And the battle would turn in their favor. The victory would turn in their favor. There's an example of that in 1 Samuel. Again, we're not going to go to those verses, but the Philistines were coming against the people of Israel, and the prophet of Samuel took a lamb and sacrificed it as a burnt offering. And the word says that there was like a sound of rustling in the trees, and the Philistines thought a mighty army was come, and it just turned them into utter disarray and utter confusion, and they were absolutely defeated at the hands of the Israelites. The Israelites received victory in that moment. When we are in a battle, when we're in life and there's challenges and things coming against us, when we're faced with our enemy, how do we offer up a burnt offering? You know, I believe it's this act of communion, this act of taking the Lord's Supper. It's remembering the Lord's death. We don't ask him, he doesn't have to come and die again. His death was final and it was perfect and it was once for all time. We know the word tells us. But when we're proclaiming the Lord's death, he's our burnt offering. He's our Passover lamb that gives us the victory. And so when we're in a tight spot, when we're facing an enemy, what do? We get together and we take the bread that represents the broken body of Jesus and the blood that represents the new agreement, the new covenant between God and man. And we remember the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death, as one translation says it. And then we walk in the victory that the Lord has given us. I believe every time you take the broken bread and that wine in communion, you are declaring to the principalities of darkness, you're finished, you are defeated, you are under my feet. Amen? I am no longer judged. I am righteous. I am fully righteous. I'm a son and daughter of the King. I sit at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus looks at me, he sees me through his blood. I'm fully forgiven, fully redeemed, fully restored, fully healed. And anything in my life that does not conform to the will of God, anything in my life that exists and is not aligned with the will of God has no legal right to be there because of the blood of Jesus. And I declare it gone, removed immediately. Amen. I believe that you and I become proper stewards of the Lord's Supper when we simply are reminded and choose to believe that we will receive everything that the sacrifice of Jesus has provided. When we understand the full significance of what his broken body represented, that was not a random act, but Jesus' body was broken so you and I could walk in wholeness. And his blood was poured out as an offering so you and I could receive the righteousness of God in Christ. When we understand that and we thank the Lord with hearts full of gratitude, hearts full of faith, hearts full of thanksgiving, and hearts full of love and hope because of what Jesus has done, that is stewarding the Lord's Supper. That's stewarding this moment. I just want to, this aspect of sickness and disease is just something that's been so strong in me lately. I've had a few challenges in my own body. You guys know that. You didn't know that I put a screwdriver bit almost entirely through my thumb 2 weeks ago. So I have things that I'm believing for in my life. Every day, thank you, Lord. I am not just saved, but I am healed and restored to full health. Amen? So just like you, I'm standing on God's word and declaring healing over my body. Guys, it should not be that God's people are walking around having to deal with these things and cope with these things. And I'm not saying this at all, you know, as any sort of indictment against anyone in this room. It's just to encourage us. Healing was bought and paid for by the broken body of Jesus at the cross. And so when you take hold of those communion elements today, get stirred up about it. Let something arise in you. You can get a boldness and a strength that when you partake of that element, you say, Lord, I am receiving healing in my body today, right here, right now. I declare it to manifest in the name of Jesus, because your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. And if you need to do it tomorrow as well. And the next day after that. And remind yourself as many times, proclaim Jesus' death as many times as you need to steward this properly and to receive the fullness of everything that God has provided. Let's not take it for granted. And we're not talking about just not appreciating it enough. We want to steward it properly so that we receive the fullness of everything that Jesus gave us. The fullness of everything he came to do. As Denise shared, it's whole life prosperity. What is whole life? It's just wholeness in every area of our lives. Amen? Every area of our lives. That's why we do this. That's why it's so precious to be a son and daughter of the King. That's why it's so precious to be welcomed into God's family. Because he has wholeness in every area of our lives. You know, as I've been talking about this morning, it's possible that you haven't yet made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I just want to give you an opportunity right now, because communion is an opportunity for believers, for people who have a relationship with Jesus. Communion is the opportunity where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. He wasn't talking to the world at large. He was talking to his disciples, his followers. He was talking to believers. And so we're going to do that, but we want everyone who's going to do that today to be a believer, to have a relationship with Jesus. And so if you haven't yet made that decision, let's just all bow our heads right now. And I'm just going to say these words, and you say them along with me. And you can say them just to yourself. But the important thing is you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Dear Jesus, I come to you, and I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize, God, that you sent Jesus as the perfect lamb to die for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to die for my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus, and I receive eternal life. I receive the righteousness, Jesus, that you came to give. Today, I purpose to live for you. I purpose to receive everything. I choose to receive everything that you died and came to give me. So I make you Lord of my life. And from this day forward, I choose to live my life in a way that honors you. Thank you, Jesus, for your perfect sacrifice in my life. Amen. You know, if today's the first time where you ever prayed those words together, welcome to the family of God. And we look forward to sharing communion with you. I'll just have the ushers come up here and go ahead and bring that table with the communion elements up here. We'll move this off to the side. We're just going to pass out the communion elements. It's really similar to how we pass out our offering baskets. And so I think we have, there's two more ushers that are going to help us with this as well. Okay, great. I'm just going to say a prayer as we do this. What I'm going to ask you to do is when you receive the communion elements, just hold on to them, and then we'll take them all together. Otherwise, people in the front will be partaking before the people in the back. So just hold on to those both. Don't squish your bread too tightly because no one wants to eat a piece of squished bread. Hold it loosely. But I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to pass all these elements, and then we'll listen to a song. And then I'll come back up, and we'll take care of those particular elements together. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity we have this morning to share the Lord's Supper together. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to partake of these communion elements, Lord. And so we say that we do this in faith. Lord, we choose today to steward the Lord's Supper together, Lord. And so as we get ready to receive, Lord, we ask that you prepare our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord. Cause us to meditate on your sacrifice, to meditate on your goodness, Jesus, so that we are prepared to respond with thanksgiving and faith and hope and joy to everything that you've done. So we thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Go ahead, guys. Distribute those elements.